Well, welcome to the D&K Repos non-league show, and so proud to say that tonight is show 300 tonight, and over the last 10, 11 years that we've been doing it. And of course, before we introduce you to our guests, this is all realistically down that we're still here today. You know, how it first started was down to two people, and they're actually here today on the actual show. And of course, one of them was the man himself right underneath me. And of course, I always call him the boss, Mr. Steve Ray. And a massive, massive thank you for the chats that we had, that we set this up. And of course, it was because of an email that Mr. Ray sent to Mr. Robinson. And we were away and running back 10 years ago. In August, the beginning of that season. So a massive thank you to both of you for that. And of course, Nick was the very, very first guest on the show alongside Dave Watters as well on the show. So of course, we couldn't have the 300th show without having our first guest back on the show at show 300. So let's introduce everybody. So of course, to my left, of course, on my screen, of course, is the legend himself, Mr. Keith McMahon. How are you, sir?
Yeah, I'm good, Dave. Looking forward to your 300th show. I feel like I've done about 1,000 of them, if I'm honest with you. But I started without wearing glasses. Now I'm wearing them.
And of course, then to my right, of course, on my screen, of course, he was one of the presenters with me when we first started the show out, of course. And now, of course, he's gone big time now. He's down at Millwall, of course, Mr. Carl Bates. Welcome, Carl.
Oh, welcome. Thank you for having me back again. As you say, it's been a long time since we used to sneak into that shopping centre and go and hide in darkened corners to produce this show. But no, it's really good to be back, actually. Looking forward to chatting a bit of non-league. Don't get to see as much as obviously I used to, but yeah, still pop down the lane when I get a chance.
Carl, you must have a fetish about going into shops and back rooms. Because we got lumbered in there as well, Dave, for a while, didn't we?
We did, yeah. And then we even did a show from a co-op warehouse at one stage as well, didn't we? And then of course underneath Keith, he's of course Isthmian chairman. Of course, he's been promoted, of course, since we first started doing this show. And Isthmian chairman, Mr. Nick Robinson. So welcome, Nick.
Yeah, thanks very much. I think it was more not the worry of getting into the shopping centre. It was actually going out at 9:30 at night. Yeah. That first night, it was pouring with rain, yeah. Persistent. We struggle with that. Keith, let me just assure you, it's we feel that you've done about 1,000 as well.
Good. Well, as long as I gave you good publicity, Nick.
Absolutely.
There you go. I think how many sponsors have you lost since I've been doing it?
No. How many have we gained and done better?
Oh, wow. That's a good point. Yeah, that's the point. Yeah.
And then, of course, underneath me, as we can see, of course, is the legend, of course, Mr. Steve Ray. And welcome, Stephen, and Matthew. Thank you.
Evening, Dave. How are we doing?
Not too bad, sir. Not too bad. And then, of course, good. To his right, and we was having a discussion before we just went live, was... We drop down a division and all of a sudden I turn it into Manchester City. And of course, as I always call him, if you drink Heineken, there can't be a better chairman around than Mr. Steve Gardner. How are you, Steve?
Yeah, not too bad. Thanks very much. Congratulations on your 300th show. We're like Manchester City if the oil dried up then. They had no money.
And then, of course, underneath... the man underneath everybody, of course, the man that I always class as one of my, a hero to me, and he knows it already. But of course, underneath there, of course, he's the Summer League chairman, Mr. Anthony Hughes. Welcome, Anthony.
Dave, lovely to see you. Lovely to be on the 300 show. Listening to all those stories, I've only ever had it easy in the last year.
You haven't been in that cult shop.
Yeah. I've had it very easy by the sound of things.
Oh. Well, put it this way. I've still got Dave down as Dave Hawks Radio on my phone.
Well, then, of course, to my right, I think another man that's been in that lovely cult shop. Yeah. With me, weren't we? And, of course, the legend himself, Migzy. How are you, mate?
I'm all right, thank you, Dave. What's happened to your hair? You had so much hair when we first started on that.
I know. It's all gone, mate.
He's been put in the freezer department of that shop and it's all frozen out.
But, I mean, one question I want to ask everybody first before we start this. I mean, How funny was the, and you know, the red card at the weekend in the FA Cup because the goalkeeper had to go for a wee? Did everybody see that?
Yeah, not funny for him, was it? I don't know. Perhaps Nick could tell us what the actual law would be. Is that leaving the field without permission, Nick? Or?
I think ungentlemanly conduct.
I think you're probably right, Nick. That's it.
I can't believe he was taking a pee out of the game.
Yeah,
I think it might be.
The other one is, shouldn't he have got a yellow card instead of a red one? Yeah.
Also, didn't he? He should have had. What he was going for number. The ref thought he was a number two, wasn't it?
Oh, no. No, that was Gary Lineker.
Oh, there's a. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it's another sponsor, Glenn Dave. That's our one.
But I mean, during the show, we've had some funny things, and people have been on the show, and some of you have seen some of the shows and whatever else. I mean, I still say, you know, for me, the best show that we did was the one, again, I think it was actually in the stadium at Marlow when we did it. And I know me and Keith were on the show, and we had the late chairman of Crawley, Dan Gatwick, on the show. And he's turning around telling us that he's going to do the interview. We mentioned it a few times, but he was unfortunate. It was an under-18s game and he was going to be on the burger bar. Basically, he said, like, bear with me. And we got halfway through the interview and some guys come up ordering a cheeseburger, fries, Bovril, and all the rest of it. And it was just absolutely superb. Something you wouldn't get on the BBC, Carl.
No, that's true. But that's what non-league's all about, though, isn't it? It's realism. That's what we have to do. You just chip in. It's no pun intended, by the way, the chip in and the burger. But it works. It wasn't intended. That genuinely wasn't, but it was clever. But no, it's funny, though, isn't it? He was on a roll, I'm sure.
Yeah,
I did. He cheesed us off. Okay, this show is going to be a long one, Dave.
Going back right to the beginning, Steve, and I mean,
yeah,
we had the conversation, and I remember the conversation. I think it was a phone call we had that wanted to find out about basically youth football to start with. We did Harlow Youth League getting onto to Hawks Radio, and then all of a sudden it sort of progressed into an idea that me and yourself had. And you said, look, I know a gentleman called Nick Robinson, let me give him an email and let's see what happened. I mean,
mate, Nick.
Hello, Steve.
Hello, Nick. How you doing, my friend?
All right, mate. Yeah.
But, I mean, it was one of those things, and we both had the conversation to say, well, this ain't going to happen. And then, you know, we didn't think it was going to happen at all. And of course, we got the email back to say, you know, let's go with it. And it was, and it's worked out quite well. But I mean,
power to you, Dave and Keith. You know, what you did was just a concept. It was an idea, but you brought it into being. And that's what the brilliant thing when people use it, what you've done. You've brought it into being, and it's fantastic. You have 300 programmes. That is brilliant. Yeah. Well done to you. Hello, Migsy.
Hi, mate.
And let's remember that it was radio in those times. You know,
yes, it was.
There was no Zoom. There was no, you know, we couldn't see people. You know, it's look how it's developed.
Yeah, absolutely. Brilliant. Yeah.
That's why Dave, no one knows Dave had a load of hair.
Yeah. It might have been better off still radio, Dave, eh? Yeah.
Just going back over, Dave, I will say, and obviously, you know, COVID played a big part of us now sort of all sitting from our homes doing this, but I did enjoy coming up to the studios when we'd done it, because you did meet people like Steve, and obviously I know Nick come in and everyone else, and the players and managers, and you know, you see you got a little bit more passion from people when you were sitting next to them as well, which was good. I know it took a little bit more of our time, and especially your time as well, but you know, they were very good times wherever we went. Harlow, you know, Averley were brilliant with us. I think we've been to Chesham, Backer Shops. But we've been about,
I think it was one of those things with, you know, the back of the shop thing came because, of course, and I think at the time, was we at Harlow at the time? Something was going on in the boardroom. We couldn't have the boardroom. You know, we wanted to put the show on for everybody. And I just then turned around to my boss and went, look, no one's using the warehouse tonight, are they? He went, no. I said, any chance we can, you know, jump in there and use it. So we jumped in the back of the warehouse, and And luckily enough, it wasn't too busy, people coming in and out of the warehouse, and did a show from out the back of there. But that was why it did, because I just wanted to put the show on for, you know, for everybody to, you know, and luckily it didn't work too bad, except for a creaking door every now and again.
Glenn Paul loved it.
Well, we tried to get Glenn on today, but he was busy. So, because of course he's the only presenter that's not with us. So we did try to get him on, tonight. So, but we've not much luck. Did we lose somebody then? Did somebody disappear?
Steve's moved around.
Ah, right. Yeah, he's jumped down to the bottom. Well, I mean, Keith, I mean, can you remember, I mean, and Carl and Migsy, I mean, what was your, can you remember any shows that sort of, that stick in your mind? Was there any shows that stuck in your mind?
I remember one, like, who was, Steve, you might know him. Yeah. He was the canteen manager, chef manager at Harlow Town Football Club.
Steve, Lord. Yeah. Steve, yeah, he's at Enfield, he's the chairman of Enfield Football Club.
No, he ain't.
He is.
What, for being a chef?
Yeah, he's the chairman of Enfield Town Football Club. Steve will be able to back me up on that. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know, I
don't know. On the show, he did. He absolutely ripped me to pieces. He did.
Good
Lord.
Right. Well, that's Paul Reed is chair. David, Paul Reed is chair of Enfield.
No, Enfield Football Club, not Enfield.
I'm going to say,
yeah. Enfield FC, who's in the Essex Senior League. He's the, he's the chairman down there. So he was that. But he was
memory's gone.
it was on the radio. Hang on, mate. I'm going to try and.
He's going to find the episode. Carl.
I am.
What about you, mate? Anything on there that.
I don't know if you remember Barry Swain we had on there for quite a few. I'm still in touch with Barry. He's doing a lot of work with Sky now. But I just found it fascinating and still do whenever you talk to non-league managers, chairmen of various different places, because you get such a different picture as you would with Premier League. Some clubs have got money and can bring in good players. Some teams are struggling. Some people are doing chip vans, this, that and the other. And I always found it just fascinating listening to different teams and different managers. And it was nice for me when I could get people in from Sermontown Rangers. That's my club, doing all right in the Thurlow Nun at the minute. It's quite nice for Serm, actually. Now they've got some local matches coming up.
Mr. Cullen?
Yes, Stato, as I like to call him. I've lived next door to him. God, since I've known Stato since he was about, well, he didn't have grey hair. He had when he was about three. But Si's really great. And every club needs a Simon Cullen. So it's been good. It's been good fun. I've always enjoyed it. I mean, it was a serious detour for me. I've always lived in Sermon to get to Hawks Radio. It wasn't exactly close going to the shopping going to the shopping centre at God knows what time. But that proves what a great job you've done, Dave. That I enjoyed making that trek to make the show to come away again.
I think the show that sticks in my mind with yourself, mate, was the one when we had the guys on from Young Epilepsy.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, we did, didn't we? Yeah,
stuck in my mind a bit. I think because that was something that was really interesting because of, you know, epilepsy in young football players and et cetera. And we had them. We had the girls on. I think if I remember right, they came in and they talked. Learned, personally, myself, you know, yourself suffer with it. And it was one of those things we learned a lot of interesting stuff. And I think the one thing that still sticks in my mind, because one of my nieces has actually got it, and one of the still sticks in my mind is when they said to them, don't touch them but record it. And that's stuck in my mind. And so when the ambulance does turn up, you've actually got the fit in front of them that you can show them, so they know which one that which type of fit they had. So that was always sort of stuck in my mind. And when I first had a fit, that was the first thing that came to mind, was that
Yeah, it definitely helps. I mean, with epilepsy, as you say, it was great that I was allowed to promote it, or able to have a platform to promote epilepsy awareness. Still doing work now with Leon Legg, who obviously ex-Cambridge United, Gillingham, etc. He's epileptic as well. And we've had problems with people being turned down trials as kids because people have said, oh, no, you can't play football, you're epileptic. And we've literally had to put myself and Leon on him to say, no, that's not true. Here's a perfectly good example. And so, yeah, it was a really good show, as you say, getting a couple of people involved as well, so you could see the effects that people have. And as you mentioned a moment ago, what to do if somebody has a seizure is to almost leave them to it, let them have the seizure, and then once they're finished, recovery position, and then just explain what's happened, you're okay, you know, help is on the way. Because a lot of people will panic and think you've got to put something in their mouth, or you need to do this or that, when it's actually very easy to look after somebody. You basically leave them to it. But because it looks so scary, you think the exact opposite, because your natural instinct as a human is to try and protect somebody. Yeah. So, yeah. But no, it was a great show. Really, really good. No, good memory, Dave.
Dave, the Enfield chairman is Steve Whittington.
That's it, Steve Whittington, yeah. Yeah.
Was he the chef at Harlow then?
He was, yeah. That's what he was.
Right, he came
in. His name was Dick Whittington then.
Right. Yeah.
He slaughtered me. He tried to leave Harlow, but he kept having me to turn around.
Oh, he kept saying to me, God, look, Mix, you look like Steve Carell. He fucking slaughtered me all night.
We all chipped in and put him up to it, that's why.
I remember him now, Dave. I remember him now. Is the age getting the better? I remember him now.
Do you remember the show? Because you called in, Steve, I think.
Yeah, I did. Yes. Yeah.
Just ripped it apart.
Yes. No, I do remember him now. Yeah, Steve Whittington.
But I mean,
when I had a memory.
See, the memory gets there eventually, Steve.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. I know what you mean, Fred.
but I mean, Anthony, when was the first time you ever sort of, you know, because there's still people out there, you know, we're going 10 years.
I think it's probably fair to say, isn't it, that when you started, it was centred around the Isthmian League, but we've expanded it now that the Southern League is well and truly involved. There was no secret, really, that we were behind Nick and his league, and probably Mark at the Northern Premier League, in doing getting involved in things like this. So it was something that needed urgently to be addressed. And the first show I ever did with you, I think, Dave, was during COVID, which was explaining really what some of the decisions behind COVID and what the FA and the Alliance Committee that both Nick and myself were on, some of the decisions that we'd made and why we'd made them, and what was happening in terms of games coming up on the weekend, if, you know, when games had to be postponed, etc. And that was probably the most ridiculous time I've ever been through in terms of trying to administer football. It was a crazy time. And I think it's fair to say that in certain circumstances we would have done things differently. But the big thing for us, I'm sure Nick will agree, is that the vast majority of clubs survive financially. And that was our priority at the time, was making sure that we didn't come out of that pandemic a third of clubs down. Because that was a real fear.
I mean, I think came out of it better off, most of them.
Yeah, I think in the end, Nick, I think you're right.
There's more of a worry now with the energy situation.
Yeah, we're back to this. Another problem now. And I saw today somebody I read, I'm not sure if it was John Smith actually, said that perhaps we should be mandating 1 o'clock kickoffs. But if the situation continues, it's certainly something we're going to have to address. As you know, and you know, Dave, as well, Nick's league allowed games to kick off early if they mutually agree. And if clubs wanted to do that, we would do exactly the same. That wouldn't be an issue whatsoever. But I don't know how much call you've had for that, Nick, up to now. Perhaps you can give us an idea.
Well, of course, at the moment, floodlights aren't needed on a Saturday.
Of course, so it hasn't mattered, yeah.
And it's fair to say that we've had one club wrote in straight away and said, we will stick to 3 o'clock Saturday because that's how it always is. Our supporters are used to it. Our team is used to it. We've got some players who work on a Saturday morning. And they said, you know, if we actually have a 12:30 kickoff at home, we're duty bound to agree away. And they're one of our furthest clubs. And they said, you know, we would have to leave our base at sort of 8-9 o'clock in the morning. Oh, that's not on. So, you know, there are two sides to it. I think the other thing is that how much do you actually save? You know, we've come down to saying it's around £60-70.
Yeah,
and
sure.
If you then take the number of Saturdays when you're going to save that, given the whole situation, it's a drop in the ocean.
Yeah,
but it's, you know, we can go to every little helps, which may be, I think, not the co-op, but just the Tesco. But
yeah, I think more importantly now, the situation has got so serious that I'd like to think there's a chance that the government will actually do something in terms of business as well as domestically. I think it's got to the stage that it's becoming, I mean, I'm seeing some businesses, and this is just in this area, who've spent sort of energy bills in the region of £14,000 over the last year, and they now have in quotes for something like 122. And I mean, that's just totally unsustainable. So I think the time is going to have to come when somebody's going to have to act. And if they are able to put a cap and act on business, that may well help, hopefully, clubs at our level.
Anthony, the one thing that we've been putting forward is, and now we've got a new Prime Minister, we want to see DCMS coming back in as they did at the start of lockdown. You know, £10,000 to every hospitality outlet. We think they've got to come back in and do something similar for the hospitality outlets with floodlights. You know, and they've probably got to do, you know, £5,000 to those that don't have floodlights and ten to those that do. Because, we had one club on their current contract, their bill limited is 48,000. But that contract finishes next month, October, and they've been quoted £100,000 per annum for 6 months and told that it will probably go up to 130,000 6 months after that.
Yeah.
I mean, and you cannot get any more income from that. It's putting up your fixed costs by that amount.
Absolutely.
That's the worry. And just to make you laugh, I was interviewed by ITN to go onto the national news last week. It was the day that Gorbachev died. So what did they do? They cut my interview.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You don't know it, then.
I think one of the things for me was, you know, the show that we were talking about, you were talking about there, Anthony. I think it was quite interesting to see how the three different leagues sort of interacted. And you could see how well you guys work together in the way that when we had the chairman's conversation, when we did that to start with, of course, there was Nick, Mark, and there was Terry. I've said this to you, so it's nothing that I haven't said before. You know, you had two very dominant figures in Nick and Mark in that interview. And then there was Terry, like my granddad, on that interview, you know. And Terry's such a lovely man. But it was, you know, that's what it. But when we came across and did the vice chairman's ones, it sort of turned around quite quickly. Where you saw, Craig, yourself, and sorry, the gentleman's name eludes me, from the Northern League. But you could see
Keith Brown, wasn't it?
Keith Brown.
But you could see yourself where you were very, very confident and knew what he was doing. So you could see how likes of Nick and Craig work really well together. You could see how you and Terry work really, really well together just by the content that you got from those two interviews. And I think they were the two things that we came across.
Yeah, what happened was, and it was a difficult situation, Nick knows this, and obviously, and what happened was when Terry became chairman, he was deemed to be too old to sit on the FA Council. So at that particular time, our vice chairman was also deemed to be too old to sit in the FA Council. So I was, it sort of came out of the blue that I ended up as the league's representative on the FA Council. So what that did was, over 3 or 4 years, of course, Mark Harris at the Northern Premier League, Nick Robinson and myself built up a relationship and rapport. I've known Nick for many years, but we haven't really dealt with each other a great deal, Nick, before this FA Council interaction, was it? And the relationship grew. So it was a difficult situation for Terry because Terry was involved in an awful lot of what was going on in the league. But obviously, I was heavily involved in what was going on in terms of the league and the interaction between the National League system and the EFA, etc. So, yeah, that did make a huge difference. But what I will say is, you said that when I came on, I sounded confident. I think I have to put that down probably to the help that Nick and Mark gave me when I joined the council. because I'm certainly a different person now than I was when I joined. It's like everything else, there's always things to learn, isn't there? And I think having been on the council for a number of years, when the time came to be chairman, I probably felt a lot more prepared. And I was ready to be chairman, if I'm being brutally honest, a year or two before. I was ready for it then. I felt I was ready for it. But obviously, you know, Terry had done a good job, and there was no way I was going to stand against Terry, that's for sure. So, you know, it was only when Terry decided to stand down then that I put my name forward. But yeah, I felt as though I was ready for it a couple of years. But I have to thank what I did. I have to thank the fact, that quirk of fate that meant I was able to sit in the council for a few years. And that gave me a great more knowledge and insight in what the actual National League system was and where we sat in it, really.
I will say, Dave, that over the time that I've been doing the show for obviously 8 years or whatever it is that at the beginning there was a massive, I'd say, frosty relationship between the three leagues, it felt. I think that's the best way to put it. It was like they was all going in their own different direction, and I've got, what's the best way? My shoes are bigger than yours, I think, is the best way of putting it on a family show. And I know, but over the course of the years, that they've all sort of come together and they're all sort of pointing in the right direction now, whereas before it's, that league's doing that, that league's doing that. And I think that's one of the massive things since we've been doing this that I've noticed, especially and I know Andy sort of mentioned it a minute ago about the COVID situation, but I just think now that they're all on the same page, and there obviously are differences between the leagues, but now at least you sort of know what you're doing at them different steps.
I think that's very fair, Keith. The problem we had was that our predecessors hated each other. Literally, and would not work together. Mm. Whereas we came in and looked at it. I've always looked at it that our job in the Isthmian League, and I believe that with our sister leagues, is our job is to get a club from step five to step two if it was to go.
Yeah.
We're the conduit. Whereas my predecessor said, no, we're the aristocrats of football and non-league football. No, we're not. No, we're just the same. We've got 248 clubs at step three and four, and we want to help those clubs get through to step two.
Yeah, that's it. That's what we're here for. We're here to allow clubs to transfer through up and down the National League system. Absolutely agree.
And I think it's fair to say, you know, with having Steve on the show, you know, Steve's testament to that, you know, he had a couple of really horrible years in the Isthmian League. I'm just so delighted to see Romford doing well this year. You know, and I genuinely mean it, Steve. You know, you'll be very welcome back. Win that Essex Senior League, you come back to us, and we'll be delighted to see you. Yeah. But that's the other thing, Keith, that we've actually done is to perfect the pyramid, so that no longer are we, as you were 30, 40 years ago, dependent on people voting for you and the old boys network. Now, if you win your league, you will get promoted.
Yeah, absolutely right. Yeah.
But I think from a footballing point of view as well, Nick, if you don't do very well, then you'll get relegated. And that's because that's the level that you need to play at the moment. We were extremely disappointed to be relegated, but all our supporters now are saying it's absolutely brilliant. We're going to games now. We're expecting to do well. We're enjoying football again. And that's what it is at the end of the day, is that it's providing football and entertainment for the supporters, because they're the lifeblood of your club. And if we do well and we get promoted, then we'll take our place in the Isthmian again. But sometimes you need to go down before you can come back up again. And it can be a blessing rather than, I think we sort of escaped on the last day twice, someone went bust above us and we stayed up, then we survived two COVID seasons and what have you. So now it's nice to be in a position where we're able to compete and we can actually ask people to come along to games and they'll enjoy it.
It's the same with Soham. Now they've been moved into the Thurlow Nun. They're getting bigger attendances because they're getting local derbies. I'm going to actually be able to go to, it's Newmarket away tomorrow. They've already played Ely. You've got Mildenhall. You've got we've got Haverhill, Thetford, nobody too far away, which then makes a big difference because you're getting more on the gate, which we all need, and fans are more are travelling as well. And also it's you've got those not rivalries, but you're meeting up almost with old friends that you haven't seen for years because you haven't played each other for 5-6 years, even though you're 5 miles up the road. So it's a better feel, as you say. It's a more competitive level and you're playing local teams, so your attendances are going up. So it's definitely working for Soham at the minute anyway.
That's the joy with the pyramid, isn't it? You fight your level, isn't it? You can't, going back to what Nick was saying earlier, you can't have a right to sort of say, well, we should be in the Isthmian League or we should be in the Banarama or we should be here. Your playing ability determines where you will play. Now, whether that's just one poor season or a few poor seasons, but the people that are playing in step three deserve to be there. The people that are in step five is where they are at the moment. If they really are too good for step five, that's brilliant because next year they'll be playing step four.
Exactly.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that looking, talking about the shorter distances and step five, etc., which is crucial, I think that's probably one of the biggest headaches we have at step three and four every year, trying to work out the compilation of the leagues to make sure that it's right or that it's not right, probably isn't the correct word, that it's as good as it can possibly be. And that was the catalyst very often for some of the major arguments between the three leagues, step three and four. I can remember, you know, it being like a trade union negotiation at times that would break down and we'd get messages back or no agreement, no, et cetera, et cetera. Where, listen, I can only speak for the years I've been involved, but the 3 or 4 years that we've been doing it together, Nick, Mark and myself, you know, it's, you know, I think we've tried to be as sensible as we possibly can. We don't always agree, but we always come out from the first meeting saying, look, it's not a good look if we don't agree. It's important that we put the benefits of football before the benefits of our league. So we come out with a structure at the end that we'd all agreed to. And we've managed to do that for now.
So, Anthony, what you're trying to say then, it's not like a game of top trumps where you're all sitting there with your cards saying, right, I'll have Chichester, you can have Tiverton.
No.
You all sit there with your big clubs.
In all seriousness, Keith, we probably all go in there with our maps saying what we think is right. And then everybody gets the opportunity to say what they think is right. And we discuss it and we come up with a solution that's all. But I think we're fairly determined amongst the three of us that we don't come out of that room until we have an agreement.
I think we've also shown to be flexible. So this year, one of the potential difficulties, if we followed policy, was with Walton and Hersham, who ground shared with Walton Casuals. And what we've tried to do is to say, where clubs ground share, they'll go in the same division. We didn't do it with Cheshunt and FC Romania. Both the Southern League and the Isthmian League regretted that. And we were determined not to do it again. Yeah. But to put Walton and Hersham in the same division would have been crazy. We looked at the map and it would have just been ridiculous. So we just said, right, stop there. Walton and Hersham go Isthmian, end of story. So I think that is, you know, really important to understand.
And it's so important as well for not just, you know, fans. Like I said, the location for the leagues is so important because the last thing you want to do is lose players purely where your team's playing. You know, the last, Soham have lost some great players. We lost Nick Pope when we were, no, sorry, not Nick Pope, his brother. we weren't doing that well. But just purely, he said, I'm leaving, but not because of the team, I'm happy. But he moved to Mildenhall because at the time, Mildenhall, the fixture list worked better for his work pattern, his shifts. Well, when Soham were travelling into the Midlands on a midweek game, you know, the team they're putting out as well was poor because it was who could travel. It wasn't your best side. So the more, I don't know, the better the location is for the league, get you a higher quality of football because you'll be able to put your first team out. And also you get to keep players. And you don't mind if a player leaves to try and better himself. But the last thing you want is you get the fixture list first game of the season and X, Y, and Z said, I can't travel there. No, exactly. I'll go somewhere else.
And it is difficult because the sad thing is there will always be certain clubs who are on that cusp, that line, and are situated geographically in an area that they are vulnerable to be moved laterally. I know it sounds unfair, but to a degree that there's no other way of doing it, really.
Oh, no, it has to be aligned somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the truth.
So, I mean, we Romford and Sutton dropped it. So go on, Steve.
Well, no, interrupt talking. Okay. Can I say this is absolutely fantastic, what you've achieved here and what you are achieving. I had no concept when we first spoke about this all those years ago that you were going to achieve this. And big well done to you. Mm. I mean, hearing Mark, Nick and Anthony talking in the way they are as a group, it's out of this world. You don't get that, but you're doing it because of what your programme has done, the league programme. And I mean, it's fantastic. It's absolutely fantastic. It's just so lovely listening to it.
Before I ask the question I was going to ask, and I'll come back to that, comes up to what you just said. The thing for me with doing the show is, you know, I come home from work some days and you're absolutely shattered. But the fact of the matter is, you know, it's Monday night, you've got the guests coming on. And I've always said this to Keith, you know, for me, if one person goes through, you know, an Isthmian stadium or a Southern League stadium and says, you know what, I watched that show with you being interviewed on it last night and I've come because I've really enjoyed it. That for me means more than anything else. You know, I've always said this to Keith when we've had private chats and everything else. And I've had the same sort of chats with the likes of Carl and Migsy as well. And it, for me, that's what all it's about. All I want to do is, you know, promote the Isthmian League, you know, Nick's league. And those, you know, we've had plenty of conversations lately about promoting his league as well. That's all that matters. It's not about promoting the Southern League, but not the Isthmian League or the Isthmian League.
No, not at all.
For me, I've always said it's about steps three, you know, steps four for me. You know,
that's brilliant.
I've got a passion for it. And all I want to do is promote Nick's league, promote Anthony's league. I'm not in it for anything else. That's literally just to promote those clubs.
That's superb.
I think we all want to just promote our level of the game.
Yeah. I agree, Nick. And listen, if we don't do it ourselves, nobody else will do it for us. That's the reality.
I think the good thing we've done is as well, Dave, and yourself's been major, is that especially over the years, and there's been a lot of them, especially with COVID coming in and, you know, the points per game thing and all that, it's made shows for us. But I think we've tackled the topics that people wanted to listen to as well. We spoke to the managers, I think all of us. You know, Carl, the people, the chairman have come on as well as they do now, which, you know, it wasn't easy maybe at the beginning. So I think we sort of try to ask questions across the board that we have. And, you know, we've answered quite a lot of people when they called in. I remember the fan show we had at Harlow was quite entertaining when they actually come into the show. But, yeah, I think you've covered every single thing that's been the major topics.
And that's all we try to, and that's all I try to. I just look at it and say, right, okay, let's get these guys in, or whatever else to get these people in. And I said, you know, for me, since we've been doing this 10, 11 years of doing the show, and it wasn't actually a show, but it led from the show. One thing happened to me this year that's probably, and I've said it from day one, it was probably the greatest honour and the greatest night of my life. From doing this show was actually comparing the Southern League Awards dinner, which to me
did a grand job too.
You know, was far and away above my station. Do you know what I mean? But I got asked, and you know, and it was an absolute privilege, and loved every single second of it. And I've even got a picture that night of my wife smiling, which is very rare.
I think you're talking yourself down, Dave, when you say that, you know, you didn't deserve it, or you know what, you wouldn't have been asked if you weren't worthy. You wouldn't be asked if you weren't worthy. Let's be honest, simple as that.
You did it as if you've been doing it for years, you know. And I'm not being patronizing you. It you know, nobody would ever have known that you hadn't been doing it for us for the last 10 years. That's the reality.
But it was just kept looking at my right shoulder, Nick, that Keith was sitting there and he was looking at me all the time. I'm like one boo-boo here.
Yeah, but I said to you before, though, that it was perfect for you. Because the one thing I'll say about you, Dave, is that obviously you know, we have a lot of chats, obviously, offline and on the phone and text, and I know what you've gone through, you know, over the years as well, mentally and whatever. But your knowledge of the football is, Amy, now, and especially now, you know, we took the Southern League on as well, because you know, we've both grown up through the Eastern League. You know, I've managed in it for years, which obviously Nick's obviously happy I'm not at the moment. But, you know, it's to get all that knowledge. It isn't easy, and I've always said, and we both have conversations, and obviously I know Carl and said, but when you go on and do a show, you've got to know what you're doing and who you're talking to. You can't be sitting there going, "What's going on here?" But you know that, and that's a major thing.
Yeah, I'll interrupt just for 1 second, because there's somebody going out to come on, and I've been trying to get him to come on, and hopefully she's the right person when I click the thing, because this guy is an absolute sheer legend of our show. So hopefully this is who it's going to be. And everybody will recognise who it is the minute he pings down and the picture comes up. If his wife sorted out, if his wife sorted out his phone for him,
technology,
he'll be coming. He's there. He's just connecting to the audio.
It's a huge build-up. My word, it is too.
Hi, Mr. Gale.
He's still connected to the audio. He probably can hear us. There we go. He can hear us now. You can. How are we,
he
sir?
He can't see us. He's taking his glasses off.
How are we, Tony?
Yeah, good, Dave. Okay. Sorry,
thank
mate.
You. Oh, we really appreciate this, mate. I know it's really your time coming on. It's fantastic. And we just said probably one of our top guests that we've ever had on the show. So it's fantastic to have you on.
Well, the top guest, I hope.
Exactly right. Yeah.
No, we're all here, Tony.
But Tony, if you can see who's here, so literally Keith's here, Carl Bates, of course, who does stuff BBC, and of course also for Millwall as well. He's here as well. Carl was one of the first presenters of the show with myself. We've got underneath him, he's Anthony Hughes, who is the chairman of the Southern League. In the middle underneath me is Steve Ray, who with myself was the person to put the show together in the first place, sending an email to the man sitting to his left, of course, Mr. Nick Robinson. And then underneath Nick is another presenter who used to do the presenting with me, the legend that is Migsy, underneath there. And of course, next to him, Migsy, is, if Heineken could do chairman, minus in yourself, this is the man, Steve Gardner, the chairman of Romford.
Oh, good evening, boys. I can't see mobile phone, and my the old... the laptop's gone down a bit, so I'm on a little mobile phone down at the end of my garden. See all of you, everyone.
Nice to see you, Tony.
And I am the Welsh voice. That's got to be you, Anthony.
Yeah, nice to see you, mate. Lovely to see you, pal.
And you, mate. Hope you're well. Good.
Yeah, I'm okay. Thank you.
So, Tony, how are things?
Yes, good, mate. All good. Very busy. Football season started. Not the non-league season, of course, after the football club, but... in professional terms, out and about, and done plenty of games, and haven't got the ag of seeing how many we've lost by on a Saturday now.
Of course, we were all absolutely heartbroken for you, you know, with what happened, and you know, we still are, because you know, we knew it's got such a legend like yourself involved with the club. Everybody's, you know, and we felt sorry for everybody, of course, who was involved in the club itself. But you know, mate, hopefully you're keeping your head up with that, and we move forward.
Yeah, no problems. It was 17 years doing it.
Yeah,
it was quite a difficult decision. But we didn't want to start the season and put the rest of the league in a predicament that maybe, you know, 10, 12 games in the season, we might have to stop. So we decided to do what we did. And, you know, we left not owing a penny. We don't owe a penny to anyone. The club had his head above water. But what I've decided to do is keep on our college, because they're all a year to their BTEC and everything. So the money that I used to race for the senior side, all goes into our college stroke academy. So I thought, you know, like, to be honest, I've got to be honest, the kids in the academy stroke college, that's the be all and end all now. Getting kids on the streets, getting a little bit of an education behind them, and enjoying a little bit of football as well. They're not all going to be, but they're all going to be getting a college background whilst they're doing a bit.
Brilliant. Yeah, brilliant.
Tony, the great thing is that you went out with your head held high and people respected what your club did. And I think that's really important.
Yeah, we did, Nick. We didn't want to put, as I said, I spoke to Ant and Anthony there, sorry, not my aunt, the manager.
Oh, yeah.
And I said we did put all the guys in a predicament where we start and, like, teams have been really good, but promotion. I think that, touch wood, we don't find it. There's a lot of problems ahead.
We're not hearing you fully, Tony.
You're breaking up a little bit, mate.
Listen, I can come in and tell you that, yeah, we as a league particularly were extremely grateful for the way that Tony and the rest of Walter Casuals handled the situation. They kept us fully informed from day one, from before anybody else was aware of the situation. And, you know, we were able to plan the situation and try and let it go as long as possible before the AGM. And you know, an awful lot happened in those few weeks between Morton Casuals informing us and the day, actually, that they announced that they were withdrawing from the National League system. So it must have been a tough couple of weeks for you and the rest, but both yourself and Roy, who I dealt with as well, were impeccable in the way that you handled it, to be fair, and you made our life an awful lot easier. It was a particularly tricky situation for me, as it happens, because as Tony knows and as Nick knows, I was taken over as chairman of the league. And I obviously, knowing the rules of the National League system, I could see the situation was that if Walton Casuals withdrew after the allocations before the AGM, that there was every chance that the club I used to be involved with, Merthyr Town, would be the ones that being reprieved. And I could see it coming. And I spoke to Nick about it, and I spoke to Mark Harris, and I said, look, I feel really awkward about this situation because it's going to be Merthyr, and it's, you know, by the look of the regulations, look at the rules, it's going to be Merthyr that's reprieved. And it's not going to look great for me, personally, being brutally honest.
Anthony, making that donation to the leagues as you did, you know, that was, you know, giving your sponsorship money over to the other two leagues was really, you know, appreciated.
That's a coincidence.
And Anthony, paying for Tony's golf trip to Portugal, that was just one of them things as well. No one knew.
You do realise how well this is going to go down in Leatherhead, the new year.
Brilliant.
But, yeah, listen, you know, I spoke to Tony and Roy, and you know, it's no secret. The truth is we were hoping that they would survive. That's the truth. And we wanted to let it go as long as possible. But they did what was right. And, you know, if it was only a little bit more responsibility in football in general, it would be a good thing, I think.
Yeah, I can hear me now. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
A little bit better, yeah.
Yeah, I can tell you now that I didn't get off anything off of Anthony because, like the most famous man, Merthyr, one of my teammates, Gordon, I think the whole of Merthyr is as tight as Gordon Davis.
Yeah, I think you're probably right there. Knowing Gordon as they do, you absolutely spot on.
I mean, Nick, you'll be the person to answer this question, I suppose. How difficult of a situation, you know, was Anthony in with that? Because I, you know, because no disrespect, I saw some of the tweets that were being put out. I saw some of the stuff that was being put out, and it was really bad. And it doesn't normally trigger me or whatever else. But when I saw some of the bits that was on there, I said to Keith, I had to reply because it was really annoying me seeing somebody being attacked the way they were being attacked for no reason whatsoever, other than the fact that, you know, Anthony used to be in charge of Merthyr and he's the Summer League chairman. Do you feel that would have been a difficult thing for yourself as well if it would have been sort of years ago with Dulwich Hamlet and stuff like that? Would that have been difficult as well for you to handle that situation?
Look, I think that, you know, what both Mark and I told Anthony was that, you know, yeah, he was a man of principle. He had our support. He had nothing to do with Merthyr Town. He was Merthyr Tydfil FC, which had gone to the war. He had nothing to do with Merthyr Town. And what was coming over social media was from those who are total ignorant, who wanted to try and trash him. And sorry, look, we all suffer it. God knows I've had it over the years. You make decisions, people come at, and you know, it's like they say, you know, it doesn't happen on social media now, but the old saying is, you know, tomorrow's chip paper. And that's what it is. It does go away. And we all said to Anthony, don't worry about it. We will make the decision that is right for football, and we'll deal with the other things as they come along.
Yeah, and they did. That's exactly what they said to me, in fairness, and Nick's right. And I was very grateful for it.
Well,
The thing is, it's going to happen again, Dave, because the people like Nick and Anthony and our other people that are involved in football all come through because of the love of the game. They all support or connected to one club one way or the other, you know, if it's even at the top leagues. And so I think it's not going to be the last time. And I think people have just got to look at that. And if they're actually tiring things like that, it's mostly because it's, you know, their own club haven't done particularly too well when they want a different get out someone to blame.
Well, I was lucky enough to interview a person not so long ago for the summer leagues. For the summer leagues, my life in football. And one of the gentlemen I interviewed was a good friend of Tony's. And basically, Tony, he basically wanted me to say to you that it was definitely a red card.
Who's that?
Mr. Hackett.
You interviewed him?
I did, yeah.
Did you really?
Yeah. I didn't get a word in edgeways, but I did interview him.
Oh, dear.
Was that the semi-final?
Yeah, it was.
The narrow defeat to Forest.
Yeah.
VAR wouldn't have helped you, Tony.
VAR would have helped me, Nick. And through to him, I had since spoken to him about 5 years later.
The thing about it is, as well, Nick.
Did we
Nick, lose the thing about it is, go on, yeah, sorry. The thing about it is, VAR was a rep. VAR's still looking at that decision. They just hasn't come up with the answer yet. It's took that long.
I'm still not sure if Tony was just censored for swearing or if we lost signal then with his decision.
Tony, who was the player involved against you then?
Gary Crosby.
I had a feeling you were going to say that. I got to tell you this. Gary's married to my first cousin, Angela.
Oh, well, I hope they have a really
that says it all, doesn't it?
You could tell you meant every word.
Anthony, we'll stand by you. Don't worry, we'll stand by you.
It. No, it's funny. It's funny how things work out, yeah. And Gary is married to my first cousin, Angela. I haven't seen him for many years now. But at that time, we saw them quite regularly, you know.
Well, Tony, have you got a message for him?
And if Louis was a relative of yours, I'd have kept Walton Casuals going and you'd have been in a league low.
But in all fairness, his thing of it was, his explanation of the whole thing was the rule had changed. Was it the day before or 2 days before? And that was what he'd said, that the actual rule had actually physically changed, and he wasn't happy with the rule and all the rest of it. And he said, like, literally, no one actually knew why he'd sent Tony off, but it was because the new rules had come in either the day before that.
Right.
The rule came in on the Wednesday, and he said,
no.
So he had 4 days to make himself did.
That's unbelievable.
Surely it was a law.
It's an absolute football. Should never have been changed.
No.
Oh, typical old referee saying that.
Who'd have thought it? If there's any consolation, Tony, I'm sure Andy Dibble's fairly pissed with Crosby as well for heading it out of his hands.
Yeah, he probably is, yeah. Absolutely right.
But, I mean, with the FA Cup, you know, at last weekend, anybody see any surprise results on there that you were quite surprised at?
Yeah, my own. Yeah, in fairness, my own. I think Truro being flying. So we were quite, I know we're in the same division, but I have to be honest, when I saw the draw, I was a little disappointed. So I was hoping they'd have a little bit of a run this year. But I mean, yeah, I was quite shocked at the result, if I'm being brutally honest. Because I'll tell you, Dave, you were interested in this. I wasn't there Saturday. I couldn't go Saturday. My son is an avid wrestling fan. So I was in the WWE in Cardiff. Oh, what a day that was. It was 5 hours I'll never get back, let me tell you.
Mate, if you'd have told me, I'd have gone with him for you.
Ah, 5 hours I'll never, ever get back.
So, Anthony, a few people would have paid good money years ago to watch you, Nick, and all that have a little wrestle off when you weren't getting on.
Let me tell you, Keith, that's the only Saturday I'm going to be missing this season, though, after that. Let me tell you that. There's not another Saturday I'm missing.
In all fairness, it could have been a good card. Yourself, Nick and Mark, and then it could have been Tony and Keith Hackett. I mean, it could have been a really good card.
Yeah. So going back to the FA Cup, sorry to throw you off at a tangent. I was quite surprised we won, but there were a couple of decent results today, and there's a couple of decent draws today. Going on to the draw today, I'm focusing on our league, but the Stratford v Banbury one is an interesting one for me. I think, you know, they could have a substantial crowd there, the way that Banbury have started the National South season. So, it's all good. All good.
I think the two results that took my eye was definitely Met Police 2, Corinthian 2. And the biggest one was, which is the one I was keeping a real close eye on at the weekend, was Canvey Island beating Enfield Town 5-1. Now, again, I know they're in the league, but that's a hell of a result for Canvey. Did you
think that? I tell you, Dave, the Canvey one was good, but just you mentioned the Corinthian one, because they've had to rebuild over there, the manager, Michael, and that was a great result, I thought. Obviously, young Romford's team was also a very, very good result. I was quite impressed with that when I see it.
Yeah.
What was that? I thought the Enfield v Rushton and Diamonds one.
Yeah, and that was another shot. Yeah,
that's a big one.
Yeah,
yeah. Heybridge beating Hitchin at Hitchin.
Yeah,
yeah, that's right. Yeah,
no one's heard from Terry in about 2 days.
No, you're right. Just I think Hitchin has had a better start than I think Terry was expecting. So I'm sure he was really disappointed with that.
There was a couple of big scores there as well. Waltham Abbey beating Buckhurstdale 7-2, and there was Totten beating Wincanton 9-2. You know, Worksop winning 5-0, Yate 4-3 in their game. Tamworth 6-0, Barking going down 4-0. Ali won't be
with that FA Cup, Dave. I'm going to say, and obviously I know Tone knows the chairman and the others, but the introduction, and I know it's been a few years now, but to a certain range that the losing team still gets some money, I think is excellent. I think that's helped our club, especially at the moment. I know, you know, when you're winning, you're thinking, oh, I could have won an extra couple of grand here, but I think it's been an absolute one of the, you know, I don't normally commend the FA and people like that very much, as you well know. But I think that's been brilliant for clubs.
Well, it was us through the Alliance Committee, because it originally came through the VARs. So yeah, it was step five and below, and it was suggested. And in fairness, and he'll agree, Mark was against it initially, but Anthony and I sort of pummeled him into the ground and tried to say that he'd have to be absent for the meeting if we were going to have a vote. When we explained the mathematics, he then saw it and said, oh, yeah, OK. Because he was trying to say, no, the winning team's losing money. And I know you're not, because the quarter that you lose, you gain more, because you get a quarter of the higher one the round you go out. Yeah. When he realised that, it is very, very good now in all three FA competitions.
But I mean, we missed that one. I mean, Romford beating Hashtag, that is some result. And Sheppey drawing 2-2 with Lewis as well. But there was one thing I was going to ask Nick, because Nick's a referee and Pete and Anthony and everybody else is on the ball. How on earth, you know, we know referees get stuff wrong, but how on earth does a referee get the rules wrong in a game of football and play extra time in a game that you can only...
You've got the right man on in Nick, haven't you?
I can't comment.
Oh, Dave. Dave,
you know,
Dave, it goes... Dave, it goes back to one of my favourite shows when I said about the Referee Academy, you know, and I've got a lot of grief because I used to have a go at refs, but when I see that at the weekend, it'd pay extra time. I'd have paid an extra tenner for that. I thought it was brilliant.
Before we dip into the world of referees, which I can imagine is going to take a while, I need to shift. So thank you so much for allowing me on the show, Dave. I really appreciate it. I've had a really good time. Please invite me back on again, and good luck with your next 300 shows. Yeah. So all I can say is that it's been great catching up with everybody. Good to see some, I would say, old faces, but I don't mean that in a literal sense. I mean as in haven't seen you for a few years. Let's go with that. All right.
Carl, give my best to Sam.
Oh, yeah, I will.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah,
I will.
So, yeah, all
take care. Okay,
take care.
Dave, I'm going to have to be rude as well, I'm afraid.
Yeah, no worries.
Well, living on an island as I do, there's certain things we have to do at certain times of the night.
What's that? Turn the lights off now.
Yeah, turn the lights off. Well, it used to be put a shilling in the meter, but we've run out of shillings. But Dave, what you've achieved and what you are achieving is far beyond what I ever thought was going to happen. Not because of you, I just didn't see it growing as it has. And what you've done, you keep absolutely fantastic and well done. And a big thank you to Nick, Mark and Anthony for your input and Migsy. You know, this has been absolutely brilliant and I've thoroughly enjoyed this. And again, here's for another 300 shows and I'm more than happy to come on anytime.
Thank you,
Steve. If I can remember names, Fred.
Good to see you, Steve. Take care.
See you later, mate.
Take care, mate.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye. Nice to start to talk to you. Cheers, guys.
See
you. While we're talking about referees and we've got a big West Ham man on, I mean... Surely that was a goal against Chelsea at the weekend, weren't it?
Of course it wasn't.
Yeah, he's biased, Davey. Of course it was a goal, yeah. He's biased. I think they've seen it as payback for the Tottenham game, though, aren't they?
Yeah. Look, they say things go round, don't they? You know, what goes round comes around.
Yeah.
When VAR came out, I thought it was going to be for things like the Frank Lampard goal in the World Cup. You know, what I would call clear and obvious errors. So something like the ball going in or someone chinning someone else behind the referee's back or something. Now we're getting it for absolutely everything. And if they can't decide in like a minute and a half in VAR, then obviously... they don't know either. And now we're getting it for every decision. And the great thing about non-league is once the ball's in the back of the net, that's a goal. Yeah. Now, I know people that go to Premier games and it's almost like, well, we don't jump up and down until sort of, you know, they're almost lining up for the kickoff again. And it's it's sucking the enjoyment out of it.
Yeah. No, I agree. I think that's I do think it's poor. And the thing, like you said, Steve, with the VAR thing, and I know we're more non-league, but where do you stop it? Because they don't sort of go back to it. Says, you know, something happens before and it's not a corner, but the team score from a corner. They don't look at that and go, well, that wasn't a corner in the first place. We need to disallow it. But when you look at the Chelsea West Ham thing and you look at things like that, well, they're doing it there. So, you know, are we going to go back to, hold on a minute, the geezer called Eds when it really was a towel? You know, are we going back that far? Because it's just spoiling it. And I know, Tony, you're commentating on a lot of these games now, so you're at a lot of the games. But is it when they score now, when you used to see Jeff Stelling going mad and you're all going absolute nuts on Sky Sports because you scored, do you all stop now and just wait and see?
Well, no, I'm actually in a... because I do the live commentary go around the world, so I actually hear some of the conversation going on in the background. It's quite. I was.
I'd really like to hear this, Tony. Can't hear you.
Yeah,
you're breaking up quite badly, mate.
Before VAR this play, which I've cleared up within half the time that the boys did. I do think it's right that they start getting some pro footballers on there now, because you've either got to stop it, and it's got to be just for offsides, and that we can all understand. Doesn't matter what part of your body is offside, it's offside. That's clear cut, that's done, a bit like goal line technology. But now when they're going back and there's fouls, and I was just talking to some of the guys today, and I was saying they're not at the games. The referees are sitting in little studios in Stockley Park. They're not feeling the atmosphere. They're not feeling the pace of the game. They're not feeling the pressure that the referee's under. So the referee should, at the game, should make the decision. So I've got a feeling now that referees have got to start standing up a little bit more to the guys that are in the VAR. So they've got
which Michael Oliver did, in fairness, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
But they really can't stand to it, because, you know, okay, I think we can get it. Penalty or not penalty or foul, not a foul. Just stick to the offsides now, because it's going a little bit too VAR. There we go.
Yeah.
With that, Tony, I mean, are we, and I say this slightly tongue-in-cheek, you know, are we getting to a stage where, with the big screens and VAR sort of almost interpreting every decision, you might as well not put a fella out there in the middle?
Well, it is a bit like that, because if you listen to rugby and cricket, you actually see get to that point where the crowd is going, like in rugby and cricket, you know, like for instance, it's bad or it's, you know, picked out off something, whatever, and then you get that roar from the crowd. Do they want to hear that? I don't think they do hear it. I think we need to go back to the human element of it and just get other than offsides, goal line.
It's like umpires calling cricket, isn't it? You know, everybody's saying it's got to be clear and obvious, and I think they've lost sight of that. I also think that we were told at the start of this season that it wouldn't be, he's offside by a toenail. Well, they've gone back on that. And, you know, the line's drawn across, and if there's any part there, you know, it wasn't what we were told would happen.
Yeah, with that, even if it's thicker, now it's over. So, however thick you put a line, you're onside. That's going to get up quite considerably, the offside. You can go, thumbs harsh when it bounced out.
What I found that today, the one area that worked really well was the goal line technology, and then today they came up with the fact that they'd missed one in the championship, that it didn't actually work. I think it was the Huddersfield game, where the ball had crossed the line and gone in the net, but the referee hadn't been informed that it actually gone across the line. So if that goes wrong, we're in serious trouble.
I mean, going sort of back to our leagues. I mean, what games do you guys see this weekend? You know, coming up, that you look at and think, you know, these are the games of the weekend. I mean, have you got some big games in the Isthmian that you look at, Nick? And
we've got trophy this weekend.
It's the trophy, yeah.
FA Trophy.
Is there big games in the trophy this weekend, you know, that you look at then, that you would go and watch yourself? I mean, where are you off to, Nick? I know you move around the grounds. I mean, which one are you off to this weekend?
I haven't told them yet.
I need to get that cone out, Nick, for your parking space. Tell them.
I was going to go to Hadley and... Hadley and Seven Oaks, but I've already seen Seven Oaks, so I'm intending to go to Basildon and Lowestoft.
Yeah, and for me, I'm going to two clubs I haven't seen this season, which is Bishop's Cleeve and AFC Dunstable. It's only about an hour and a half from me, funnily enough, Cheltenham. But since Bishop Cleeve have come back into the league, I haven't actually seen them, so I'm going up to meet those two on Saturday, and that's in the trophy.
Well, it's a nice big travel in the trophy this weekend, isn't there? Wroxham at home to East Grinstead.
Yeah.
I'm seeing East Grinstead at Beckenham tomorrow night. I'll have a chat with them.
I'm going to Southampton v Brentford on Saturday and West Ham v Newcastle on Sunday. So,
nice.
Great game.
Our commiserations to you, Tony.
Yeah.
non-league because I'm only going to go in the midweeks now.
Where are you off to, Migsy?
I'm going to follow Harlow. They're at Great Wakery.
Oh, is it because you're a young man now, plays for them?
Yeah, yeah. So
I'm still like me non-league fix, boys. So I will be going midweek games. So I love to watch a little bit of non-league.
Yeah.
Good there.
Well, I'm actually off to see Enfield Town versus Horsham. So,
I might go back to my old club, Dave. I might go to VCD to watch them play Greys because I think that could be a good game, and a few Greys lads used to play for me, so I might go and watch that.
Steve, where are you this weekend?
We're at home. We've got 13 out of 17 games at home, so
wow.
No, that's good for consistency, for bringing in the income and what have you, but we're going to have a lot of away games coming up at some point in the season, but we've just been drawn at home in the FA Cup and the FA Vales as it's gone along, and just the way that the fixtures goes.
Yeah. So who are you playing this weekend?
I think we're playing West Essex.
Oh, okay.
But I might be wrong.
So what would you say? I mean, me and Keith have had this conversation, and Keith knows where I'm with this. Over the summer, going from the end of last season into the beginning of this season, was there one big surprise signing that you saw from a player going to a different club? Was there a surprise with something going on in a club? Was there a surprise with supporters? What was the biggest surprise for you over the summer period between the end of last season and this season? Was there one thing you looked at?
I thought Jason Hallett might have stayed and gone up into step four with the team that he was with, won the league. Hashtag, we played at the weekend, but just signed Rob Halford, which is a great signing for them. I mean, players move about, don't they? You know, I mean, I think you're seeing more quality players and more sort of extra professional preparing to drop down and not seeing it as sort of like, I think there was a time when sort of a lot of sort of professional players wouldn't have stepped down to steps four, three, four and five because they might have considered it beneath them. Whereas I think that the pitches have got better, the support's got better, clubs are better run. And I just think that when you look at sort of team sheets now and people sort of say, oh yeah, he's an ex-League 2 player or he's an ex-League 1 player and what have you. So, I mean, I think players moving around isn't a surprise. I think the nice surprise is the amount of quality ex-professionals that are now coming down into the sort of steps 3, 4 and 5.
Yeah. Yeah, but Dave, the big worry that I have is the money that's being paid. Because, well, I mean, we see right. This. Mark Harris sent us an email last week. He's got a step four club paying over £1,000 a week to a player. And
how does he know that?
Pardon?
How does he know that?
Because it's on the contracts. We see all the contracts.
Not fair enough. They're on a contract, then they're paying him maybe a bit more than that, Tom, aren't they?
In fairness, it was in the non-league paper as well, Nick and Mark put it in the non-league paper in his column, and I think it's a 3-year contract, which is a massive amount of money at step four. I mean, and I agree with Nick, that is the worry, I think, the money side of things.
Can I ask though, Anthony and Nick, do you think, again, this is something different, and if someone's got a contract, do you think it should be made public?
No.
No,
Keith, employment contracts are not made public. You know, you've got people working for you. You work for others. Your contract isn't made public. Why should a footballer have his contract made public?
Exactly.
But that's what I'm saying. So why should that have come out? Like, that's why I asked you, how did you know about, obviously, I'm just being my normal self. Why that's come out?
Right. We wouldn't actually say that it's Keith McMahon playing for whoever it is getting £1,000 a week. We're giving that as an example and saying we can't, we know it as a fact.
Yeah.
I think you're right, Keith. You have to be careful, don't we? But I think it's a generalisation more than anything else. Yeah.
Yeah, like I said, I know with what players are sort of getting, and you hear stuff a lot, you know, sometimes it's quite inflated. I will say that as well. But I do agree with you, Nick. I do think that over the last few years, COVID's made a big thing about that because clubs have not had expenses to pay out, and they've had that. And I do get that. And then also some are sitting there now thinking, oh, well, I've got a chance. You know, you've always had the chairman stroke managers that think, hold on, this is our chance to move up leagues, and you get sucked along with it. And I know Tony's mostly seen that a lot as well over his time. Clubs that have killed themselves because of it.
I think the biggest worry and the shame now, Nick, is not so much, I mean, obviously it is the money, but players at step four, and I can only still talk about step four because that's where we were, that I know I'm old and old school, but for me, your expenses was towards your boots, your beer in the bar, perhaps take your girlfriend or whoever you choose out for an evening on the Saturday night, maybe something a bit towards a car or a holiday. But now players are coming to clubs and they're saying, well, I can't live on that, as if it's got to be their main income. And I think that it's. I mean, I was speaking to someone last year when we was at Step 4, and he said they had a guy on trial, and as he was sort of taking his boots out of his bag, he said to the manager, how much am I going to get? And he said, well, until you put your boots on and we see what you're going to get anything. Or is that just the way of the world now?
Mixy, have you got a big surprise over the summer?
No, the thing I'm, like, my lad's obviously chuffed that he signed up with Harlow, and he's just chuffed now and doing it. But what I'm surprised at is, and I don't know how you guys felt about it, but back in the day when we were playing, it was a question of, like, playing Tuesday, Thursday, training, either Tuesday, Thursday and Saturday, etc. Now, you've got players who wear, during the game, these chest heart monitor. They actually monitor how far the individual players run and then analyse the distance that they cover, which...
Yeah, I got given them at Whitstable when I first walked in. Someone bought them for them.
Yeah. And I'm thinking, these are players in non-league. A lot of them are part-time, got jobs elsewhere. What are they going to gain from, you know, a part-time player covering the distance of a field?
It's just gone so, Migs, it's gone so much more professional now, even with that at this level, and you know, any data you can get, and you know, even if now I can just say you know, the teams I've managed, some of the scouting things you get now, you would be, you know, it's like you're getting a 50-page report on every team you're playing in so much detail, and some of it you actually sit there and think, has this fella actually gone to the game? Is he just lying and just sat on his computer for an hour watching Coronation Street? But you know, it's so much. And Tom, did you have that at Walton with Anthony? Did he have all the details, things like this?
Yeah, he was thinking thing. Some be employed only like a little winter sometimes. You know, obviously, and like they do college, rely on analysis, the day side of it. You were talking about the pro zone side of it. We were just
you can see we're losing Tony again.
The analysis side of it, said to Anthony, your eyes it's your eyes, you know, a player, you know,
I think I use VO quite a lot, and I think a lot of clubs now, and in all the leagues, I think you've mostly seen it a lot of the Eastern, Nick, and you have in the Southern, and the Northern are doing the same. I think nearly every single club has got VO now, and that's quite an expense, and it's quite, you know, in depth.
Look, we've all signed up with VO. What surprises me is the step 5 and 6 clubs that are signed up with VO. I mean, I go to a lot of 5 and 6 grounds, midweek particularly, and I'm always surprised that, you know, you walk into a step 5, there's a VO machine is up there recording. Yeah. No, and the clubs are using it. undoubtedly using it. We Northern Prem signed up with Stat Sports, and we're talking to them as well. I think, Anthony, you're talking to them. You know, Stat Sports are really, really important. They are they're wanting to break into the game at our levels. And the one thing I would say is that there are a lot of clubs that are getting data and don't know what to do with it. Tony will understand that. There's absolutely no point in recording the game on VO. There's no point in having the stats. There's no point in knowing that Tony Gale has run 15 miles during a game unless somebody's actually going to analyse it and say, yes, but look what he did was he ran 15 miles going from corner to corner and never touched the ball. You know, you've actually got to have the experts, and I think that's where our game is going, because those people who, you know, it was the sports scientists to start with that were coming into our game, so that it was the health and teaching people about diet and things like that. Now we're interpreting data, you know, money is being spent in that way, make no mistake.
I think Nick is right. The stats boards he mentioned and VO, there's also another company that we partner with, Soccer Supplement. I'm not sure if Nick spoke to them as well.
They are to do
nutritional information for players, etc. And I think what it shows is they're so keen to come into our level of the game is that technology has meant that these products have become probably cheap enough now for clubs lower down the pyramid to be able to utilise. So clubs are taking it on board. I think going back a little bit, I just wanted to make a point going back a little bit to what the Nick had referred, and we said that was in the non-league paper with regards to what Mark Harris had said about that one lad had stepped forward being paid X amount of money. I don't think anybody begrudges anybody receiving that. I think Mark's intentions probably, as Nick and mine would be, is that we worry for the security of that club going forward. And that's why you'd highlight those things rather than protesting that somebody themselves is earning that amount of money. I think our fear is that the club is still there in 20 years. And when you hear things like that, it puts the fear of God into the likes of me, and I'm sure Nick, that perhaps, you know, we fear, and we don't know the full circumstances, but we fear that perhaps the clubs are being put into jeopardy because of those things happening. But going back to the partnerships, all the three leagues in Step 3 and 4 are now gaining partnerships with this sort of technology that is allowing it to become affordable at our level.
Well, guys, the time is literally flown by. I'd just like to say my biggest surprise this over the summer was James Beardwell going back to Witham.
Yeah.
But in all fairness, it's been a great show tonight, a great show. It's been a great show tonight, and a massive thank you to everybody. Next week on show 301, we're going to start a new thing on the show. We're going to invite one supporter on the show, one or two supporters maybe even, onto the show every week to come on and have a chat, but also as well to play in a new little quiz we're going to have at the end of every show called Guess the Attendance. So if you're out there and you want to come on and jump onto the programme, let us know. We'll give you the Zoom link and you can jump on and play Guess the Attendance against Keith every week and myself. And
Guess the Real Attendance could be even funnier.
a massive thank you, of course, to the man himself, Keith McMahon, as well, because he's with me all the time. Massive thank you to, of course, our very, very first ever guest, Mr. Nick Robinson. And of course, as well, to a great friend and, of course, the main man himself, Mr. Anthony Hughes, the chairman of the Southern League. Another good friend in Migsy as well. Thank you, Migsy, for giving up your time tonight. I wish your boy all the best in there. And of course, the legend himself. Thank you very, very much for giving up your time, Mr. Tony Gale. We really, really appreciate it. It means a lot. So thank you very much indeed for you giving up your time. And of course, as well, down the bottom, if Heineken could do chairman, there he is, Mr. Steve Gardner. A massive thank you for what you've done. And we wish you all the best. We really, really do. And want to see you back in the Isthmian. Or if they don't want you, you can come and join them in the Southern League instead.
Yeah. But stranger things have happened.
Yeah, until next week, from everybody here tonight, thank you for watching. Please tell everybody that we're here every Monday night. We've been going 10 years and still some clubs don't know we're doing it every Sunday night. Sorry, Monday night. Please make sure that you pass it on. But until next week, from me and Keith and from everybody else, thank you for watching and good night.
Cheers, David. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Dave.
Well done, David and Keith.